What they adopted Friday, or amendments to, were A9 that we adopted on Friday, and those are no longer applicable. We have some other fresh amendments, which will be asking for some other amendments too, and a conceptual also on top, possibly there's been lessons, and we have A16 also, which were the same mercy. Take those in. A14s are a product of myself and legislative council and the sponsor of the bill. The A15s, I think if Gwen would like to come up and tell us about those real quick.
Thank you, Chair Welch, and members of the committee. I'm Glenn Dayton with the Oregon Healthcare Association. And the Oregon Healthcare Association represents long-term care facilities, which includes nursing facilities, assisted living, and residential care facilities. And we are supportive of the A15 amendments, and let me just tell you briefly why we're before you supporting them. We're concerned about the definition of facility that's contained in the -12 and -14 version of the bill, in that it is it might be interpreted overly broadly. The definition refers to facility as facility used primarily for persons who are convicted of a felony or for youth offenders. And first of all, the term primarily is vague, and I don't think that long-term care facilities are used primarily to treat these folks. I don't even know necessarily that the bill would be interpreted that long-term care facilities are used primarily to treat persons convicted of a crime or youth offenders. But what led us to be before you is the specific exclusion from the term facility. Facility does not include a health care facility as defined in 442.015.14a. That's a hospital. So hospitals are specifically excluded from the definition. And I don't think under anybody's interpretation they are primarily involved in treating these folks either, even though they have alcohol and drug elements to what they provide. I don't think that they would have been included either under a facility. So my concern, and I'm rambling a bit, my concern is that if hospitals are specifically excluded, that under some interpretation, long-term care facilities might be included because they're not specifically excluded along with hospitals. That's why this amendment is before you. The amendment also moves the term primarily from up to the first part of the sentence. So facility means any facility primarily used for the treatment, rehab, detention, etc. We just view that as a more clear use of the term primarily. It modifies the whole sentence, if I can start getting into grammar. So you're talking about primarily used for, which would make it give us a better case that, for example, a nursing facility is not primarily used to treat people convicted of crimes, even if they may have several people in the facility who are convicted of crimes. That's the rationale for that change. So I would urge your support of those amendments just to clarify that long-term care facilities are not included in the definition of facility. If you do not support our version, our amendments, we also support the definition of facility that's contained in the -16 as well. With that, I will entertain any questions.
Questions from the committee?
Thank you.
The A14s do incorporate some of the recommendations and concerns that came from the also from the work group and Pam Curtis. Several of those recommendations we thought we should incorporate.
Could we just get clarification, at Mr. Chair, what included and what is sending that memo regarding. Just those were the A's.
Not A. Kind of difficult without a hand and growth question for myself, either to see where they put the language in here, but I think we've got. Section 1 is revision sub 5, including that language there. Process required by subsection 2 of the section must inform citizens of identity of any other facility. And what we did is move that from section, thought it should probably be part of the pre-siting conditions, the section of informing citizens of other facilities the provider operates, whether there had been any history of violations or any security plan implemented by other facilities by employees.
So this is
And that had been moved from section 4 of the dash 11 or 12.
That was a part of the work group.
No, that's one of those that I picked up. That wasn't work group recommendation there. That's one I picked up for the sponsor. Okay, we move to page 3, section 2. Section 2, there were changes. That's the B.
Okay.
Now, that's where we placed healthcare facilities as defined in ORS 442015. Those are there also. It is sectioned out as large A and B under facility. There is a change there. Not sure what that council had on that. What we did is list out in the facilities that's not included here, as in the other dash 11 and 12 were not listed out that way. So you have Department of Corrections in there, local correction facilities, or lockup, and then over to page 4 you have detention facilities. And youth correction facilities defined in ORS 420.005. That's the need for more.
Would it be possible to insert into that section where the list is of the facilities that aren't covered, the facilities that are listed in the dash, the scheme?
Right. And we will take that motion here.
And the other requested change, would it be in section 2, subsection 2, small a, facility means any facility used, and then move it primarily from the next line up to after, either before or after used.
What page are you on?
I'm on page 3. Are we all on the dash 14?
Mm-hmm.
Page 3, section 2, line 17.
There, if you notice primarily it's down on line 18, if it would be possible to move it up so it says facility means any facility primarily used for the treatment.
I have no problem with that.
Are we just doing like free for all questions right now?
Yes, go ahead.
And on page 4, section 3, at the very beginning, we're talking about zoning and land use. And then on line 16, it starts talking about areas where the safety of the community may be threatened. And I'm not really sure what. Maybe that's more than any planning person knows more. Is that, has to do with land use? I mean, would that be, would the person making a land use decision want information on areas where the safety of the community may be threatened?
The provider is required to provide to the person making the decision regarding the change. The provider shall provide the person with an impact study within the community where the safety of the community may be threatened by the presence of the facility. Impact study, I know there's concern about that, but that sponsor wanted that in there because it felt it was before citing a place to put that study. And actually, it probably is one of those things that comes at the pre-citing level.
Would that person making the land use or zoning decision know what to do with such information once they had it? Is there a process set up in a local community who, the person who does the zoning and land use changes, would they know what to do once they had this impact study?
What the required information would be, what the scope of the report would encompass? I mean, this is not something that's generally done in land use planning process. If you're coming to choose a public safety.
The sponsors of the bill, I think, are trying to determine whether or not if there's going to be a zoning change. And if it is the zoning change, it was their greatest concern was in a single family residential zoned area. Then you've got to justify that, and that's their concern. Why are they going to get an opportunity to change that zone? So they, because it may require that, and a city may require it, a county may require it.
My only concern, Chair, is that if this isn't already a process that it's happening, and we're setting this up, that we're putting a new burden on people that make these land use and zoning decisions, and they might not know what to do with such information, and we're not really giving them direction on how to ascertain that information once they receive it. They're just supposed to get it.
So would it be appropriate to insert some language in here asking them to begin the process, or
to do what?
To define asking the GLCD to define a process whereby information could be gathered to study the impact on the safety of the area.
I think it's more down to the local level. City or county. The other one to make the final decision on that. I need to leave the room, the little entities.
we were ever resolved that? I haven't.
No. No, we have not resolved the zoning question at this point in time.
Can I have another question?
Yes, you can have another question.
On page 4 in section 3 again, sub 3, in a hearing concerning a change in zoning, the notice required must be sent to all owners within the community. And I'm not really sure. I mean, that could be the entire...
It could be as defined.
It is?
Well, we do have a few.
Well, I'm not sure what currently those requirements of mailing notices are, but I don't know that it's a half mile. Does this come under a measure 30? Or
this would be probably a conditional use permit, which would only be like 150 feet if the proposed. So this is a much larger, area, half mile.
What do we have presently?
So there would definitely be a fiscal impact to it.
Mm-hmm. What do we have presently?
150 feet on a conditional use permit.
Basically, I'd take the landowners. It usually looks a little bit beyond that. But it's discretional as to those directly affected.
Do we have any type of fiscal impact or?
Is it
both
inherent to raise the means to get a fiscal
impact? Well, yes, there'll be a fiscal needed on it, I'm sure. There's been some major 30 and local mandate questions about it, but it has a referral.
Mr. Chair, I do have concerns that if we are going to have each local jurisdiction decide what the criteria is for the required report on safety, that we put something to that effect in here then.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we're going to end up with some kind of statewide planning goal that...
We could do that.
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
My question is whether this is going to be the last chair on this.
Probably not. I'm supposed to be in a conference committee right at the moment. How long do you want to work on this evening?
Mr. Chair, I could propose a short
measure 16
will
pass the sponsors. Okay,
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the page 16 amendment to SB 1040.
We have a motion?
We have a motion before. Can you work through?
Move the 16.
We'll be back in the morning. Let's put down the, let's talk about his systems here real quick. Tell us what they do, especially where they came from.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The core of the issue is local notification, and it is my understanding that the A16 came out of a work group that was trying to create a framework for local notification that we could put in place immediately, recognizing that there are so many land use, local control, constitutional and other issues that cause it to be a very sticky wicket, that this would be a way around that stickiness. And essentially, they're with me on the first page, the first main point in the findings and declarations is near the bottom of the first page. The Assembly recognizes safety of the community, the opportunity for reclamation. Reclamation standards must be maximized. And the second main point is one sentence that's spread over a good distance, and so I'll read it to make it coherent. The Oregon Youth Authority, the State Office for Services to Children and Families, or any other city, county, or other public agency, funds a facility, department, youth authority, state office, city, county, or other public agency, shall ensure that a formal process is in place or shall cause a process to be developed for gathering citizen input regarding the siting of the proposed facility. And that this process must include an opportunity for input from citizens on location, population, numbers, qualification of the staff, the proposed level of supervision, and other relevant information considered appropriate. The this version goes on to note that if any of the advice provided in these consultations is rejected, citizens must be notified in writing of the reasons. So essentially it's creating a framework for a dialogue. And in Section 3, this dialogue is amplified, and it notes that the process must include methods for addressing citizen complaints, program integration in the neighborhood, programmatic changes in the facility, and a means for mediating problems that arise between the department, use authority, so on and so forth. Now, the next main point of the bill is an understanding that this is a work in progress, and that it's very important to observe the interaction of creating this framework, see how different jurisdictions implement it, observe what problems arise. And so Section 4 creates an implementation work group, has a long list of membership trying to include all those who have a stake in this process. And if you continue on to the final page of the bill, it notes that the work group shall gather information about implementation, evaluate effectiveness of this 1990 Act, recommend changes as necessary to ensure effective implementation, and that the work group shall report these findings to the appropriate interim committee no later than December 2000. So it's inherently recognizing that where the expectation is we'll learn a lot and be able to see if more detailed language is appropriate and necessary when we come back together. So this is an effort to honor the intent of the bill, say that it's important, and yet avoid being caught in the grip of these multitudinous challenges that this the more detailed language has provoked.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Representative Taylor.
I'd like to ask the author of this version, how many persons is that? I counted 27.
It's better than another thought.
Mr.
Chair,
I did not offer this, but I would, if there's anyone who would like to comment who may have been
included, please show me.
Yeah. Do we exclude anybody who would like to be included?
I would say, admittedly, there think a lot about the 16th of life. I like to have a work group or task force. I do think that this may be a bit large to actually be functional. I mean, there are better ways to do it and have representatives that kind of draw the coalition and have some other ways to go about it and actually this way.
That's true. I commented that we already had this as a priority issue for the interim promised by leadership also, so we can do it a little more, I think, effectively and as costly without having to have a piece of legislation. What we're talking about is a sponsored referral, and I respond to it as a very possible initiative, too. So I'd much rather work on the present bill that was presented to us, and the amendments that we have pending for that particular bill.
So I guess the comment I'd like to make on that is it's not that I doubt the sincerity of the fact that this will be an issue that will be looked into in the interim. I guess when I'm looking at all of the issues and task forces and projects that are going to land in the area of human resources, and I look at the amount of per diem we have to invest in the interim, if we have things that are directly referenced in a bill and in many functions someplace else. So we can kind of expand the boundaries.
Yeah. Okay. Any other comments? I'm not sure before.
You and I have discussed this, Mr. Chair. I do like the idea of having some kind of a group in panels to check on whether this is effective or not and whether it is addressing whatever problems this bill is attempting to address. I think that this is way too big of a group from the operational standpoint. But I do think that it's an important accountability loop to stick in here, that somebody is trying to gauge whether this is getting us where we're trying to go.
Other comments?
Well, Mr. Chair,
quickly,
I know the issue of a referral has come up, and I guess I would just share my perspective that I think this is a type of complicated issue where there are many little pieces of the law that intersect. It is appropriate for us to work out as a legislative body. If not the A16, I think then we should put together a framework that the majority of the committee can support and put it into statute and revise it next time. That's probably, depending on the complexity of it and just what it does, I may not be a yes vote on putting that particular piece in the statute, but I think putting the statute rule really is appropriate to this type of legislation, and I'm uncomfortable with the referral.
Okay.
Well, I guess I do have one more comment. I would be, if we adopt this amendment and then we wish to amend the list, make it shorter or restructure it to make it a more functional, certainly I don't think that the work group that put this together, I'm sure they have some recommendations on how we could shorten it and keep everybody involved.
Any other comments? All right. We'll do an up and down vote on this. No further comments. We'll have a first call of vote, please.
On
A16.
Representative Cruz.
No.
Representative Atkinson.
No.
Representative Tipori.
Aye.
Representative Murphy.
Aye.
Representative Morton?
No.
Representative Taylor?
Aye.
Farewell.
No. I did not receive the required number of votes. F-16s are not added. I think Representative Tipori's Section 3 sessions are appropriate in light of the Measure 30 considerations here fiscal, sending out notification to a whole community. I agree. I think language is more appropriate. We'll be looking for that. Something that's commonly used, it's 150-foot language or something like that, would be more appropriate for the direct impact to neighbors.
Half mile. About my whole district.
Yeah, it would be well over mine. I think what is taken in on the notification language that sponsors had to have, that was on the back here, is 180 days prior to commencing operation of the facility, provider shall give notice to all owners and or occupants of record of real property located in the community. I think that's asking by first class mail notification. I think what was intended was
a lot of mail.
I think what was intended was was more the language that was.
This is an employee postal service bill, isn't it?
Employment mail with a guarantee. I think more what they were looking for maybe be that it was part of that. The provider shall give notice by placing an advertisement in the newspaper. They can certainly do that much. Because the other is quite a large impact.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I may comment, that there are provisions within the land use planning regulations that say that if you are going to downzone or mm-hmm. or restrict the use, you have to mail out notices.
Yes, you do.
That's a lot smaller radius.
I was thinking that the radius in this bill would be my whole town and a whole bunch of trees.
Yes. My concern also has to do with Section 3, and it's really about the impact study.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not, we're not clear about what kind of impact study we're talking about there. When we're laying that on the provider to do, we are really setting up, I think, a barrier to siting. And when it's not very well defined, I mean, I suppose there are exhaustive kinds of impact studies. I'm not familiar with all the kinds there are, but my concern is that it would be a real deterrent, that it would be expensive, and that it would be difficult not being more clearly defined than you have it here.
Okay. I've got that noted. Okay, Section 4 notes. Everybody have their comments on Section 3. I'm going to take your notes and comments down here.
Well, this alternative caters concern, and I would agree with that. I think if we are looking at impact to normal land use process, it's a much more doable thing. I mean, there's a huge difference between 150 mm-hmm. feet and a half mile here, so.
Right. All right, moving to Section 4, what was deleted from the Section 11.
Section 4, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Would change to, I don't know anything about how much it costs for people to buy this amount of insurance. Is this a prohibitive amount? Of
no, liability. I don't think umbrella costs much. I carry it on my own homeowner. Not sure what it would be for a particular homeowner, but that is a good question.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. First, you listen.
I'll quick comment on subparagraph 3. Which actually, your comment beat me to it. Several nonprofits I've been associated with, all the board members utilize their homeowners because they could do that at virtually no cost as opposed to the nonprofit having its own director and officer's liability insurance, which is sometimes quite a burden to the nonprofit. Well, subsection 3 is necessary.
I guess I would be confused why we have the double umbrella of general and professional.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a redundancy. But I don't know, maybe.
Can I answer to that? What we deleted there was the requirement for providing publicly the security plan, that type of information. That would result that it's certainly going to cause a problem with any of these facilities. But at the front end of the process, at siting, where the community has a chance to get their concerns and ask some of those questions, and you get the general, I would say the general guarantee if there is a security plan. They'll know what kind of of the population is going to be living at that location too. Some of those questions just come at pre-siting. So we eliminated that. Section 5, equals 19. Now it was revised, so yeah, we added language under the which would allow for the filing of juvenile also. Conviction of rape or found to be within the jurisdiction of juvenile court from having committed acts that if committed by an adult would constitute the violation.
Is there any statute of limitations on this, or if you committed a crime and were convicted 5 years before and then they were 5 years later going through something, are they still unable to, I think it's kind of interesting to pursue decisions on this the rest of their lives. But that's their only place to go to get the service.
Right.
Mr. Chair.
Sure.
The Section 5, Subsection 1, 750 feet is approximately three city blocks in Portland, and there's a radius. That means we're talking about a six block area, 36 square blocks. You basically cannot find any site within the city of Portland within that has 36 blocks that do not have a licensed child care center. At least I would doubt it. I haven't. And I know the state is talking, I'm not sure if we've passed legislation, discussion about expanding the number that are licensed and encouraging the license. So I think this would effectively prohibit one from being cited in the city.
Okay.
Understand what Representative Murphy is getting at here, but if indeed, by definition, we're talking about predatory sex offenders, these aren't your normal treatment centers. My comfort level of having these people who have a tendency to prey on children is more often than not.
Mr. Chair.
That's the purpose of the question.
Yeah, and I certainly wouldn't have any greater level of comfort. The challenge we face is that when people leave these centers, they're going to be unmonitored within wherever they live. The argument was made before this committee, there's two things really. This covers not just predatory against children, but any form of sex offense. I'm not sure if having a halfway house, if you will, outside of an urban center, which I think is what effectively forced it to be, in the end, may be more injurious to society by not creating the transition of a closely monitored conduct within a setting that the person might eventually live. There are experts here who can talk to that. I can't, but it is difficult to find exactly what the public safety is.
I think that's entirely their purpose, and what is the result of our rehabilitative efforts. They don't want them displaced out there forever, and our community subject to that risk. I think that's where the sponsors are coming from on this issue. You don't have the track record on rehabilitation in that area, okay?
So I was sure I would, again, not be an expert, I wouldn't consent that.
I think that's where they're coming from on some of this. So there is, absolutely, in the language that they want, as I'm coming to understand, there is a limiting effect here. That population we have that can live well within our community and not cause us undue stress about our public safety is going to be cited and have no problem. The populations that aren't, and have to be appropriately cited.
I observe that in turn. I'm just noting that the strategy may in fact backfire and cause more damage.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Okay. Section 6 was just in turn.
I think that's such awkward language. Any person may bring an action against a provider who fails to comply with a written agreement concerning the facility entered into between the provider and a person or another person acting on the person's behalf. I get lost in that. And I guess sections 4 and 5, if they're violating, if they're not complying with liability insurance or the citing requirements of section 5, someone can bring action against them. But the language itself seems to me to be unduly awkward. I'm not an attorney, so maybe this is boilerplate language for all I know, but
no, that came out of book language out of Led Council.
I get the flavor reading this of a lawyer's full employment act about being acted there, and I'm not, I don't think that's the intent, but you know, anything that opens up anybody to undue litigation needs to have a look taken. I also would like to see it with the language tightened, and if we actually need to say something, I should say it. It just kind of seems to skirt around things. I wasn't impeding lawyers, by the way.
You read the concern of what lines finished by some say?
Yeah.
Section 7. That came out of the work group language unchanged. Section 8. Section 9 is new. Stating that act must be consistent with applicable local ordinances, state and federal, which we all felt was implicit, but maybe not. 1999 Act, of course, and the sponsor wants to make sure that it is a referral. Section.
Mr. Chair, this is a comment on 10. I understand the sponsor's desire for that. I think in the grand scheme of things that are occurring, this will actually slow down the process.
Section 11, that was language that will, we had already talked about Hanning Gross at the bottom. And we will clarify that as far as who is to be included here, so the impact is directly with those most impacted.
And also the clarification between that section and the section 3. Section 3. To recognize that it's people's rights.
Right. And the section 12, the Hanning Gross portion was in response to, which is not ledge council, but it is a conceptual, and that's in Morgan's concern here, that we start gaining information back from our agencies, cities, our counties, how, if this act were implemented, how it affects their ability to fund, because that would be probably very important information. And then we would, in a roundabout way, start hearing, because there would be problems, but at least it's that's in process, that it should be something we hear about.
Sure.
Okay, Mr.
In terms of notifying owners of real property, two questions. One is whether it is feasible to readily discover the owners of all real property within a given area without some sort of exhaustive consultant going through every single piece of property in an area that, using National Explorer's example, for district must have about 50,000 people, as all of us do. It must include about 3,000 residences, and then you have a lot of rental property, you have an awful lot of owners to track down, and then you have business property that's owned by stockholders. I don't know if owners includes every owner of a share of stock in every piece of property that's owned in a district, but that should be clarified. Even if it was just residential and we're talking about 30,000 people per class, that's $10,500 in mailings to the one mailing, not including the cost of addressing envelopes, papers, so on and so forth. So, substantial.
It could be very substantial when you talk about 750 feet, half a mile. That's up real quick. I'll find out from the sponsors whether or not that's the answer that they want government paying for.
Would government pay for this? I mean it could be if it's a
small property. If it's an agency, government agency or a city or county program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, other considerations before we will repost for in the morning? Early afternoon.
Early afternoon.
Good afternoon again, okay?
Thank you.
At the same time. Any no further business? We return to the day.